Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him, Kevin O'Sullivan, fresh from our new role on the Breakfast Show,
yeah.
Doing our own version.
Mike and Kev, yeah. Which is like The Thought Police without the
swearing.
So luckily, it's really short.
Now that we're back to fucking swearing, we can get on with it properly.
Mike and fucking Kev.
Some things to think about for the course of this podcast. We're going to talk about Captain Tom, whose daughter seems to be in a bit of trouble. Building a swimming pool with a lot of money, which nobody knows how she managed to afford.
Well, I've got a few ideas.
Yeah. NHS 75 today, or
yeah,
this
75
week,
today.
75th
yeah.
birthday. We'll do a bit about Rishi Sunak, I suppose, as well, because guess what?
Yeah.
He's finally, the chickens are coming home to roost. You know, this is a guy who thought he would unite the party after the disaster of Liz Truss and after the chaos of Boris Johnson. And he said he would take us all on to the next election. And he would do all sorts of things, including stopping the boats, stopping Just Stop Oil, stopping high taxes, stopping inflation, stopping NHS waiting lists.
Yeah.
He hasn't stopped fucking any of
just
it,
just stopped
right?
something.
I'll tell you what he has stopped. Yeah. His own popularity has now plummeted for the first time to -2.7.
I think he's a very naive politician because, you know, the one thing you don't...
Oh, hi. Kevin's lunch has arrived.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you.
I promise not to.
Do you want to have some of it?
No, I'm all right.
You're going to wait? Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's a naive politician because he makes promises. And clever politicians don't make promises. You have to be careful
right.
about this. But his whole MO seems to be to stand up and say, I will stop the boats. Here's my five-point
right.
plan. And I will stop the boats by this time next year. I will half inflation by the end of the year. I will do this.
And worse than that, right, did he not also say, if I don't do it, boys, you know, you judge me on my performance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, we are judging your performance, and it's shit.
Yes, and he's not keeping the promises.
No.
I mean, stopping the boats, he's nowhere fucking near stopping
the boats.
He's
not even slowing them down.
He's increasing them because he's getting barges to put migrants on. So he's increased the
boats. I did
boats.
Actually say a few weeks ago, you might as well just buy a load of barges and make a bridge all the way to fucking France so they can just walk across the
exactly.
fucking boats, you know.
Exactly. So, people have worked it out. And he seems to me to be a guy who, if he can just get himself 24 hours of positive headlines, he'll take it. And this is what we learned about him a few weeks back when he, remember, he stood, it was about 2 weeks ago, it was a Thursday.
Yeah.
He stood up and said, and what had happened prior to that, no boats had come across for about 2 weeks.
Right.
And
he
stood up and said,
him,
I told you, he said, my stop the boats plan is working. Now, we understand.
He said he was down 20%.
We
right.
understand that before he made that bold statement that got him lots of nice headlines for one day only, that he was told, he said, well, be careful about this, Rishi, because the weather's been shit.
Right.
This weekend, the weather's going to be really nice. We predict, this was his own expert,
right.
we predict, I'm afraid, that the migrants are going to come pouring across again. And he basically went, I don't care, I'll say it anyway.
Yeah.
So he says it on a Thursday night,
I'm
stopping the boats, my plan is working.
Yeah.
It gets some good headlines.
He claimed the Albanians weren't coming anymore, didn't
he? All that shit.
What a load of bollocks.
So he looked all right on Friday.
Yeah.
Over that weekend, about 1,200 came across. You know, and he'd been warned.
Yep.
This is his style. If he can just buy himself 30 minutes of positivity, he'll take it.
Do you think it's his training at Goldman Sachs that's teaching him to be like this? Because he always looks to me like he's doing a presentation to Goldman Sachs from some kind of junior fucking role.
Hi, guys.
Right? Hey, guys. When he did the NHS last week, he was talking all about how, you know, we're going to put 5.4 billion or something The fucking NHS. It was
2.6 billion quid. Who needs that?
It doesn't matter how much it is. Yeah. It'll just get fucking swallowed up by the gargantuan leviathan that is the NHS, which happens to be 75 years old this week, right? Mm-hmm. And all sorts of people are... I mean, the good thing, I suppose, is that at least some people are beginning to say, actually, it doesn't work, and there's not much fucking point in putting any more money in it, you fucking idiots, because all that's going to happen is it's going to be swallowed up by a load of diversity champions and fucking marketeers.
Yeah, 3,500 people in the NHS earn more than £100,000 a year.
And they're all and fucking these, shit at
these
their
are
jobs.
Not doctors. These
no,
are,
they're all shit at their jobs.
These are middle managers. Mm. If you want to sort the NHS out now, you could, I would suggest, fire 3,450 of them.
Yeah.
Save yourself a goddamn fortune.
Easy.
The NHS is a pile of bollocks, and it's still people. Mm. I was just reading the papers now. There's all these sort of junior ministers, Tory ministers, right? The NHS is fighting fit and ready for another 75 years. It's not.
No.
It's shite.
It really is.
It's shite.
It's not world beating. It is not the envy of the world. It is not doing anything that anybody is fucking envious of, unless you can count, you know, making sure lots of people don't get fucking treated. You know, that's the only thing they're good at. Yeah. World leaders in not treating anyone. You know, if you've got a problem, don't bother going to the fucking NHS to get it sorted, because they haven't got any room.
Yeah, and so, also, again, this is Rishi for you. I mean, this fucking statement he made last week, you're going to get 2.6 billion to the NHS, it employed 300,000 more people.
Yeah.
Right, already
great.
It already employs more than a million people. Yeah. So,
isn't it like the second biggest employer in the world after the fucking Chinese army?
It is. Exactly, it's exactly what it is. It's the second biggest employer in the entire world. So, does he really fucking think that standing up and saying, hey, you know the NHS money pit? Well, I've got another 2.6 billion quid I can throw into it and we'll never see it again.
Yeah.
Might as well
but
set fucking fire to it. and you know, and does he really think that's a vote win?
Can't be.
The rest of us are going to go, fuck off,
mate. Yeah, and also anyone who can afford to, and even those who can't really afford to, are just going private because it's a fucking absolute barrel of shit.
Yeah.
And then if you get into it, you never get out of it. And in fact, if you go into hospital in NHS, you're more likely to fucking get something else that will kill you than you will be cured.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very wary of going into any fucking hospital. If I had anything seriously wrong with me, I think, no, not even if I couldn't really afford it, I would do my best to get some private medical cover and go elsewhere.
Oh, fucking no, I wouldn't go anywhere near
I would not
the
trust
NHS.
Them. With my fucking life.
I'm not going to the NHS.
I just wouldn't.
Fuck off.
You know.
I mean, you know, we're lucky. We can afford the insurance not to go to the NHS. I don't say that proudly. I'd much rather.
Yeah, but I'd much rather use the NHS.
But frankly, mate, I'm at an age where I could suddenly fall ill.
Yeah.
And I'll need some emergency fucking help, and I don't trust that lot.
And of course, all these wankers on Twitter go, "Yeah, well, you better be nice to doctors and nurses when you have your fucking coronary, you fat cunt." Yeah. And it's like, yeah, thanks very much for being kind, lefty.
Yeah.
actually, I'm not sure I would be feeling
kind. Nice.
I'm not sure I would be feeling actually very safe in an NHS hospital, because I get more and more reports now of fucking people who don't know what they're doing.
Oh, Christ, is it, well, you know, 11 hours waiting for a fucking ambulance.
Yeah, on a trolley in a fucking corridor.
But going back to Rishi, you know, and his brilliant NHS plan, stop the boats, all that. Oh, by the way, his latest thing is, oh, stop, just stop oil. How?
Yeah, right.
How?
Yeah.
How are you going to stop them?
Well,
I'll stop them disrupting sports events, guys. Well, how are you going to fucking do it? I mean, stop saying
apparently
all this.
He's very pleased to see Johnny Bairstow carrying the
he
says that, right? But if that had been happening on the streets of our city in London, the guy who was carrying him would have been arrested by the fucking cops and probably locked up for the night.
Yeah,
so the fucking law isn't even on his side now.
But apparently Rishi is now a hangdog figure, renowned for going around going, this job is really hard. It's really tough.
A bit like Boris, isn't it? Boris wanted that fucking job all of his life, and when he got it, he made a massive dog's ass of it.
Yeah. And
couldn't do it.
And Sunak apparently is finding it very, very difficult. Particularly, you know, for example, his "I will half inflation by the end of the year promise, he's going to come way short of that.
That's not even within his power.
Can't believe that it's not going to happen.
Well, that one he said, because somebody said to him, don't worry, inflation will come down anyway and you can take the credit.
Yeah.
Well, one, it ain't coming down, and two, he can't take the credit for something that hasn't fucking happened.
Yeah, and he ain't stopping the boats. He's commandeering hotels left, right, and centre, trying to tell us, oh, yeah, well, the good thing is I found barges and a few disused RAF air bases to stick the migrants in. Think of how much money that will save us. Not much, really.
Not really.
Because you're still paying for all these hotels. Estimation the other day that in 3 years' time, the bill for migrants' accommodation per night will not be the current rate of £7 million. It will be £30 million a day.
As far as I know, if you're going to try and stop paying all this fucking money out, surely you're supposed to be moving some of these people out of the hotels. That's not happening. In fact, if anything, more hotels are being commandeered. More, I mean, you see, every fucking week. We get sent information that says, here's another one that's gone.
It's about 500, and they're getting more and more. Yeah. The barges and the disused air bases, the renovated derelict prisons.
That place you've referred to a few times, you know, the one in Bexhill, I've been to look at it, and it's an old prison which is in ramshackle condition. It's literally at the end of a fucking cul-de-sac street, full of, you know, families living there, round the back of a petrol station. It's the middle of fucking nowhere. There's nothing to do there.
Yeah.
But these migrants will walk in and out of it quite freely. Yeah. But there's nowhere to go. Yeah. Where are they going to fucking go?
Yeah, and the truth is that this the cost of this goes up every single day.
Yeah.
More and more migrants turn up. And he's not stopping.
Have you seen the latest one?
What are the deterrents?
Have you seen the latest fucking horror, right?
Yeah.
Somebody sent me this this week, and I haven't had a chance to play it out yet. But there's a fucking video, right? And suddenly there's a boat bobbing about in the sea. Yeah. Richard Gere is on a fucking boat.
What?
Right, in the middle of the Mediterranean. You know, do you remember when he played...
An officer and a gentleman.
And also the gigolo. You know, he's only got two expressions. One is when he looks down like that. And just looks really sad. And then the other one is when he looks up like that.
Yeah.
It's only two fucking expressions he's got. He's the shittest actor alive, right? And he's fucking on a boat surrounded by a load of black guys who are clearly from North Africa.
Right.
And he's operating for some company called Open Arms, which is a new charity.
To welcome them.
New charity, which is dedicated to rescuing people from the Mediterranean who are coming to Europe from North Africa. So he's now contributing. Now, what the fuck has he got to do with Richard Gere?
And also, you know, we haven't got Europe, and particularly Britain, we haven't got the infrastructure for this. It's not kind to encourage these thousands and thousands and thousands of foreign people to come and try and live here.
There's 100,000 people coming to Italy from Libya in the next few days, right? On a variety of boats, which now in the Mediterranean carry hundreds of people, not just like 50. Hundreds of people. There's 100,000 of them.
I know. And they're saying that Italy might get 750,000 this year.
Yeah, I mean,
and then of course, what do? They head north to Calais,
right.
And then they come here.
Mm.
It's a fucking joke.
I mean, there's so many. I mean, it's almost laughable now. We shouldn't really laugh because it does affect people. But there was the Albanian guy who was photographed in that luxury spa resort down in Cornwall, 250 quid a night. Yeah. He's actually paying for it. They're not putting him up there because he's a professional burglar, right?
He's
been fucking deported twice. He keeps coming back on the boats. And he's living here, high on the hog. He posts on his fucking social media that he's having a lovely time in this particular hotel. And until he needs a bit more money, but he'll just go and do some more robbing.
Yeah. By the way,
amazing.
Talking of all that shit, right, I read this story at the weekend that, you know, soft on crime, soft on the causes of crime and all that.
That was a Blairist thing, wasn't it?
That loads and loads to get sent to jail. It's taking like an average of 50 offences.
Yeah.
So people have got to break the law 50 times.
Well, this is why when you talk to these fucking, you know, penal reform types, you know, like the Howard Lee, who don't think anybody should go to prison, like Chris Dorr, you know, the KC. Who comes on?
Prison doesn't work. It does. If you lock the fucking door, at least you don't have to look at their fucking faces.
Well, also, if it happens to be somebody who goes around murdering people or raping them, they can't be murdering and raping people while they're in fucking prison, right? Yeah. But I would have said, if you'd asked me that question, it's at least 30, but if it's 50, I fucking believe you. But the fact now that they talk about these, oh, it's not right to lock these people up, you know, Nobody's getting locked up for a first offence. Yeah. No fucking way. The only people they'd lock up for first offence are people like Boris Becker.
Well, this
and you go, what the fuck are you blocking him up for?
Yeah.
Because he's a bit wealthy and he's a famous guy, so you might get your kicks out of it.
In this story, they cited cases of violent people who have been convicted of common assault 25 times before they get
it's not just a teenage error then.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about prison doesn't work because they go, well, it should be about rehabilitation.
Fuck off.
Prison rehabilitates fuck all anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And it never will. Right. The reason you lock them up is to punish them.
To get them off the streets.
Yeah, because incarcerate.
The justice system has a duty of care to the population.
To the rest of the society.
Which is fucking law-abiding, right? Pitchfork, the guy that we talk about a lot, Colin Pitchfork, apparently is now eligible for parole again, as you pointed out the other day. Why? Would be my first question. This is a guy who raped two 15-year-old schoolgirls and then murdered them.
Yeah.
One of them, I think, more or less in front of his own child.
Well,
what the fuck?
His car was parked a few yards away with his own baby in the back seat while he was busy raping and murdering two schoolgirls. He's been in jail ever since. They let him out a couple of years ago, and within seconds he was found loitering outside a girls' school.
Worse than that, we fucking said, don't let him out. There was a campaign by Alberto Costas, who's the MP for Leicester, where it happened, right?
Yeah.
And he's been working closely with the families, and he said, do not let this guy out. They did anyway, and guess what? He fucking put himself in a place where he could rape and murder more fucking children, hanging around outside schools. The fact that he's gone back in for that surely should mean he should never be offered fucking parole again, should he?
No, but...
In any real-world organisation...
The parole board has a mania for letting people out. It seems to think its job is to release as many people as
possible. Wrong. Its job is to keep the fuckers in.
Well, its job is to assess these cases properly. And a guy who immediately broke his fucking parole terms and started hanging outside a girls' school.
Yeah.
Why are they thinking about letting him out again 2 years later? Fuckers.
It makes absolutely no sense. A couple of other stories to talk about while we're here. One of my favourites, and this will develop, I suspect, over the course of the next few days, Captain Tom, do you remember him?
Yeah.
Since it's the 75th anniversary of the NHS, I think he raised about 30-odd million, didn't he?
Yeah.
Walking around his garden.
Lots and lots of money.
And a lot of people at the time said, this is an amazing story, but it's an awful lot of money that they've raised, and you'd have to be a bit careful about where it all goes. Now, I'm not suggesting that any of it has been wrongly spent.
Commandeered.
That would be entirely wrong to do. But Hannah Ingram Moore and her husband Colin, she's the daughter of Tom Moore, is being sort of, shall we say, probed by the trustees of the Captain Tom Moore Foundation, who basically are saying that she seems to have built a swimming pool complex next to the big 1.2 million house that they live in. And they say that they didn't know that it was being done, even though she said that she needed to build this complex in order to...
go swimming!
No! In order to make it an office for the foundation.
Uh-huh.
Now, the trustees have said this. At no time were Captain Tom Foundation's independent trustees aware of planning permissions made by Mr. and Mrs. Ingram Moore purporting to be in the foundation's name. Had they been aware of any applications, the independent trustees would not have authorised them.
Well, I believe it's fair enough to say that this suspicious-looking situation is under investigation.
Yes.
I mean, and we know what we all think. Well, let me a lot give of you people more, gave money, and it's gone towards building a swimming pool for Tom's daughter.
They have said...
it is alleged.
In an application for planning permission, they said that the space that they wanted to develop was urgently required for presentations and memorabilia, right? they said it was an annex that needed to be done in the name of a foundation. They were named in the access documents and in the heritage statement. A retrospective application for permission to the spa complex was refused last year. So it looks as though the Charity Commission is now investigating, and it looks very likely that the company that's linked to the couple and the charity is also under and if you can see there's an aerial picture here which shows the 7-bedroom house, £1.2 million, and there's the spa block over there, which has got a 50-foot swimming pool, some changing rooms, and some showers.
Looks like fucking Buckingham Palace.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry to say, I hope this all turns out well for the foundation, and also, of course, for Hannah Ingram Moore. Yeah. but I worry that it won't turn out well.
Yeah, I mean, I do worry about it because it's such a shame for poor old Captain Tom.
Yeah.
It's not his bloody fault, well, is no. it?
But I do, I mean, I do have, I mean, I probably shouldn't say this, but I do have this image in my mind of her standing.
Get there. Up!
Come on! Get going!
Do another round in the garden! Go on, another round!
I'm fucking tired. Get on with it.
Who cares if you're 100? Yeah, get on with
fuck
it.
You know, we need another couple of million.
Oh,
I mean, obviously, you know, that would be pure speculation and we wouldn't want anyone to think wrongly about it.
I'll tell you what I'm worried about, though, Mike. You know, as I contemplated this morning, turning on my central heating. It's global warming. It's the climate
change. Oh, yes.
Climate Let's change talk crisis. About that. I mean, it's so hot today that it's pissing with rain, quite cold.
It's freezing today.
And Wimbledon is, never mind Just Stop Oil, what is disrupting Wimbledon is the pissing rain and the freezing weather.
Well, if you were playing, it would be like that old, when I started playing tennis in the olden days, I think I actually had a tennis sweater that you would wear.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think somebody knitted it for me, one of my aunts, like a white sort of thick knit.
You need that.
You fucking need it today.
Yeah.
Because you remember, they used to play sometimes in these sweaters. And sometimes sleeveless, sometimes not. But it's bloody freezing. We were at Lord's the other day, before the incident with the Australian
non-sportsmanship.
We should maybe talk about that. But it was bloody, the lights were on, because the bad light, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock. Fucking floodlights were on, because it was so dark. And it was starting to drizzle with rain.
Yeah.
And I was like, what, this is what they call the last day of June, is it? This is fucking
That's last day of flaming June.
I mean, so this is the hottest June of all time.
Yeah, we got about 20 minutes cricket then, didn't we?
And then we had to stop for tea. And never came back.
Huge amount of lunch.
Yeah.
Huge amount of drink with tea. And 20 minutes cricket. We would have watched more if there was any more.
We would have watched more. I seem to remember the last time I went there, we watched even less cricket, not because there wasn't any going on, but they didn't kick us out of the restaurant.
Ah.
This time they kicked us out of the restaurant. They must have got a new policy.
Right.
You can't just sit there drinking all fucking
day. We got kicked out after, a three-hour lunch.
We got kicked out after
a
long lunch.
And then we went back 20 minutes later for tea.
We went back for tea. And then they kicked us out again sort of around 6 o'clock and we went to the bar.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it was quite a good day out.
We had a few drinks, didn't we?
Certainly did.
I was a bit irascible when I got home.
Well, you were a bit the worst away because you got there a couple of hours before me.
I suddenly realised towards the end of the day that my cricket analysis was getting a bit slurry. I said, fuck on!
I had a sort of eventful journey home as well because for some reason my fucking Uber didn't work and somehow I couldn't order a car. And there's never a cab because there's thousands of fucking people wandering about. So I managed to get home in the end, but I had to have a row with Uber. And at one point, I said to this guy on the phone, because I called him up, I said, look, I can't access my account. I don't know what's going on, but there's a problem. And his answer was, well, we've looked into it, and at this time, our advice is that you seek alternative means of transport.
Oh, thank you.
And I went, well, that's no fucking use to me. And as soon as I said that, he said, we don't appreciate it. So he put the phone down. I'm going, you fucking
cunt.
They
always do
you
that.
You fucking little cunt.
Yeah, then if you swear at them. They love it. They're looking for them. They're waiting for you.
Just put the phone down. I mean, I don't spend much with them. I don't use them very much anymore. But, you know, I spend enough.
Yeah, well, I use the people's method of getting home. I use the tube.
Well, I ended up going on the tube and then got into it with a couple of these youngsters. One of them had a cricket bat. They'd been in cricket. And they started taking the piss out of me for some reason. So I just sort of went back and took the piss out of them back and monstered them to the point where by the time we'd gone three stops, they stopped talking to me. It was great. I said, oh, we've just come up from Kent. Is your mum picking you up at the station? Or come up to town on your own, have you? Oh, are you going to get to where you get London Bridge? Oh, are you getting a train back to the Shires? Fucking wankers.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's cricket for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. Now, here's another story that I rather like. Now, the headline in the newspaper says, sex scandal at school, head's four-hour romp in office.
Okay, tell us about this.
This takes me back to the old Sun, when you and I, well, you mostly, but when I used to work for them as well. A married school head was caught on CCTV having a four-hour romp in his office.
This is a head teacher.
Right, yeah. Adam Price, age 40, admitted stripping off before having sex with a female colleague while several fights were breaking out and staff were being attacked in his school.
Hell.
The secret affair was exposed a month later in February when anonymous letters were sent to the school. The notes questioned the behaviour of Mr. Price and another staff member who's identified only as Person B. He's been suspended and has immediately resigned. He's married, right? He dodged a teaching ban yesterday. Apparently he can continue his new job as a senior education consultant.
Fuck's sake, what's his advice?
Fucking hell. He was executive head teacher at Northern House School Academy Trust in Wolverhampton. Duncan Tilley, who chaired the Teaching Regulation Agency hearing in Coventry, said that one of the letters questioned what the two had been doing during the day in Price's office. A review of CCTV, I mean, what a twat. How about this? A review of CCTV footage for January 27th, 2020 revealed that Mr. Price and Person B had been engaging in sexual activities camera.
So if you knew this guy, what's his name again?
His name is, where is he? Duncan, no, Adam Price.
As it, so he got to him, so, hey, so Adam, are you still fucking Person B?
Or have you moved on to Person C? Yeah, she was a right goer. Apparently, Mr. Price admitted that he and Person B were together in his office for much of the working day. He's literally banging the arse off her for 4 hours. On a fucking, well, there's CCTV footage.
People
what
are
they thinking?
Stupid, aren't they?
They so really are idiots, stupid, aren't they? Incredible. Anyway, he says the devastating impact that his conduct has had on him and his family have led the panel to conclude that the risk of repetition was low. So his wife kicked him.
The devastating effect it's had on him and his family. Well, you know, I'm really sorry for you, Adam. So, so much sympathy for you.
Yes.
Well, if you didn't fucking fuck Person B, you wouldn't be in a shit, would you?
I mean, presumably he was fucking her on the desk. You know, probably had her fucking on his chair. A couple of blowjobs later. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. Okay. And the great thing is that apparently the school was in absolute anarchy at the same time. Kids fighting, teachers getting assaulted. Meanwhile, where's the headmaster? You know, boom, 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 boom. What's that fucking noise?
Not now, I'm busy.
Tell them to send me an email.
For fuck's sake.
Brilliant. Now, going back to your the green net zero bollocks, right? Yeah. It's now becoming more and more fucking clear that none of it is actually true. None of it's going to fucking happen. And also, none of the targets that they've set, i.e., ooh, must get rid of all petrol cars by 2030. Bollocks, are you? That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. Carbon net zero, people don't even know what it is.
No.
And you and I were talking about this earlier.
And electric cars now.
Electric cars.
There's a couple of manufacturers who have stopped making them on the basis that they haven't got any fucking demand for them.
Because people are getting the fucking message. That's
I've said in the past, and I thought about it before I got my new car. I thought, look, maybe it's actually it was the time before, and I thought maybe it's time to look at electric cars. But then almost a third more. If you buy the model that you want to buy as an electric car, it's almost a third more. So instead of paying, say, 50 grand, you're going to pay 75 fucking grand, right? In the end, people can't afford it. Yeah. And Nadine Dorries has written in the Mail this week saying she gave hers back because she couldn't find anywhere to charge it.
This is not practical.
And all the people, in fact, what's his face from The Times had the same experience, didn't he? The restaurant critic, Giles Corran. He got rid of his electric car, an electric Jaguar, and it kept getting nicked, and then he just ended up saying, I can't be arsed with it, because it breaks down, it runs out of fucking charge, you can't move it when it runs out of charge, like you can an ordinary car. It's just fucking hopeless.
It's the weirdest thing.
It's a con. It's a massive con.
Yeah, it's like, who can forget a generation ago, Gordon Brown telling us all, get a diesel car, save the planet.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that work out?
Can you remember any other pieces of advice that Gordon Brown gave?
But it seems to me, well, boom and bust, wasn't it? That was his big idea. So it seems to me that, you know, when they say get an electric car, save the planet, be circumspect, be very doubtful.
Yes.
Because no doubt, in 5 years' time, don't get an electric car, it's ruining the planet. So who fucking knows?
Yeah.
But today, in the papers, there's a guy called Paul Davis. He's the chief meteorologist at the Met Office.
Oh, yeah.
Basically saying that this is human-induced climate change. Well, we don't know that.
Yeah, bollocks,
we don't know that.
No, but the people who say that, right, and they question us and they say that we're spouting lies and we know we are. Well, actually, no, we are not spouting lies. What we are is a kind of questioning,
questioning,
a kind of cynical view,
a skepticism,
and a skepticism about things that are presented as a fait accompli.
Yeah. Because it's not, you know,
what we do know, particularly after the whole COVID experience, is that a lot of this shit is based on models. A lot of this shit is based on what might happen if that set of circumstances is the case, and you can make a model prove anything.
There is actually, you know, even the most extreme climate sceptics like me might say...
I wouldn't call you an extreme climate
sceptic. I'm not. I accept
you. You're really not.
The climate is changing. The question is it our fault? Yeah. Is it humanity that is changing the climate?
Right.
As I always say, well, if you were... Well, none of us were around, but if you go back to the ages of the dinosaur, I don't know, the Jurassic Age, the climate was changing like fuck then.
Yeah.
And no humans were around.
But also, if you talk about the 2 years that they mentioned in that article you were talking about the hottest flaming June for
it was the hottest June since
1976. Now, in 1976, nobody said, fucking hell, things are really bad.
Yeah.
This is the hottest fucking June since 1940. Yeah. Therefore, it must be our fault. They just went, it's a fucking hot year.
But this is, it's so fucking ridiculous. As I say, there's probably a case for saying, you know, humanity might in some way be contributing to climate change, but there's no proof. So how the entire world can base its energy policies on something for which there is no evidence is fucking
strange. And there are also plenty,
it's fucking
strange. There are plenty of scientists, they all say, well, not many, but there are plenty of scientists who will counter what's being said. Yeah. And also Matt Ridley this week, who knows about this stuff and is a bit of an expert in his own right and has written books about climate change, he's given out some very interesting stats in which he says that the Met, the Weather Service, basically, has been altering and fiddling figures
to make it
up
look
to from something like 1973 to 2002 to make it look colder than it was, and from 2002 to 2022 fiddling it to make it look hotter than it was. So therefore, so it looks as though we're getting a lot hotter than we think. Yeah, yeah. And I saw also a chart from the Met saying that in the last year or two, some days in June have risen by something like 2%, two degrees rather.
Right.
Now, 2 degrees is not very much.
Yeah,
sure. I know they'll say it's loads, but it's actually not. Yeah. You know, if it was 23 this year and it was 21 last year, what's the fucking difference?
Big deal. And also, there's such a difference. So all these people, the narrative now is that people go, it's a hot day.
Mm.
Oh, no, this is terrible. It's sunny and hot.
I know.
Well, so this is the establishment. Mm. These are the orthodoxy spewers who go on about all this climate change claptrap. Have a look at, when it is one of these terrifying hot days, with the sun shining, have a look at Bournemouth Beach.
Yeah.
Have a look at Brighton Beach.
Yeah.
It is packed with people enjoying the nice weather. So all of these catastrophizers who go on about climate change, planet, the end is nigh, most people just don't buy into it. What they're saying,
they just go to the beach.
They have the traditional attitude. Sun's out, it's a hot day, how lovely, let's go out.
Taps off, as they say in Scotland.
And the BBC, the other day, a couple of days ago, when we did have a hot hot day, it said hottest June ever. What should we do? Go to the fucking beach.
It's like these stupid questions, you know. How frightened should we be by this?
Yeah, not at all.
Or how worried should we be? How about you don't fucking worry, just get on with your fucking life and enjoy yourself and stop being
Honestly, there's a weird insanity descending on the world.
There really is.
And by the way, let's not let this conversation end without pointing out the fucking obvious. That is that we produce less than 1% of the world's pollution.
Yeah.
China produces 28%, India produces like 20%, and so on and so forth. We do not make any difference, and yet fucking Sunak, fucking Green Party, fucking Labour Party, Starmer, fairer, greener deal. They think we should spend thousands and thousands of pounds not go to fucking Spain for our holidays, not drive a car, you know, not use central heating, get rid of our gas boiler, when it will not make any fucking difference because we don't produce enough pollution.
But it will.
It's ridiculous.
But it will make a difference to your quality of life.
Exactly.
Your fucking water won't be hot.
Yeah.
Your fucking house won't be warm enough. You won't be able to drive a car because you fucking sold it to try and save the planet. You get on a bike, you probably get killed on the fucking bike by some lorry that turns when you weren't looking. And basically, your life will become shit because you won't be able to go on holiday.
Keir Starmer, I've just bought myself a heat pump. Bend over, I've got a good idea of what to do with it. Fucking hell.
Yeah, I've got a fucking, these another kind of pump as well. You fucking twats. Anyway, we're out of time pretty much.
Yeah, we are.
So that's another Thought Police for the record. This is one that's been brought to you by Suitable Choices. Dave Johnson, of course, who's a Thought Police fan. And he's also the boss of Suitable Choices, which is a mortgage company designed to help you figure out, if you want to buy a house, it's not a bad time actually because the prices are going down. What you can do is look up their suitablechoices.co.uk web address. Their tagline is straight talking, no bullshit advice. They're based in Margate if you want to go down and see them. They're in sunny Kent and they can give you all the financial advice you need, which is probably a good time to buy a house.
Yeah,
if you've got
sure,
the money, go for it.
Yeah, it is a good time.
Meanwhile, we will see you next time and don't be fucking stupid.
Yeah, go fuck yourselves.
Bye-bye.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.